you couldn't kind of Google being gay, you know. I think the feelings of certainly knowing that I was different on a lesbian and gay basis became much more prominent, obviously, from, you know, adolescence, sort of 16 to 18, 19. And at times I was pretty unhappy about it. And I started going out with boys, as my friends were. It was partly about trying to, well, feel attractive, know that you're wanted, flattered, and just again to fit in and perhaps try and create some kind of smoke screen. As a friend pointed out to me a number of years later, a lesbian friend, she said, "You know, Ritu, you never look anyone in the eyes. Why is that?" And I thought about it and I realised that actually through my secondary school years, I'd gotten very used to not looking people in the eyes because I was worried that people might see through and
Really?
work out that I
Wow.
was gay. And so, and after this friend did point it out, I changed a lot after that in terms of making sure I did make eye contact with people and feeling more confident to do so. But by that point, I was out on the big, wide lesbian and gay scene. So what happened in that interim period was I went to Chelsea School of Art after finishing secondary school, and that's where I met my first female relationship. So the boys were still kind of there on the side, you know, there was a boyfriend and, you know, but somehow there was this thing that was developing between myself and another art student, and I hoped beyond hope that it would really become something, become a reality. And, you know, because we were spending a lot of time together and, you know, there was a closeness. And just as I left Chelsea, we very much got into a relationship. It was very difficult for her. I think it was difficult for both of us. We were living in Chelsea, in a bedsit. Well, two bedsits there, just off the King's Road, and she was Irish Catholic, and with my family being Indian, you know, it was very much a secret. We didn't go out to other places. We didn't know there were places to go to. We thought we were the only. Now we were not the only one. We were the only couple in the world, apart from Quentin Crisp and people like him, and. I remember we went to go and watch My Beautiful Laundrette when that came out, and it was shown at one of the special cinemas in Chelsea, and it was just amazing to have any kind of representation of self and reaffirmation at that time. And after we were together for about two and a half years, we split up. I think for her, the guilt, the Catholic guilt became too much. And there I was left bereft and lonely and isolated again. And that kind of forced me to go out and seek a lesbian and gay scene. So what I did was I phoned London Lesbian Line. I bought Time Out or City Limits magazine. Lesbian Line was listed in there in the lesbian and gay section, and I phoned them, and very nice woman at the other end of the phone said, "You're not the only one, and hey, you know, have you thought about going to any clubs?" And I was like, "No, I'm just scared, you know, because it'd be full of lesbians and I'd be on my own." And she said, "Look," she said, "you know, a lot of people are frightened when they go, but there is also a lesbian discussion group. And maybe that might be easier for you to go to." So I took down the details, and around just before I went there, I did actually make a very brave trip to the Ace of Clubs in Piccadilly, and a straight friend went with me, a straight female friend. It was actually a very empty night at the Ace of Clubs. Darn it. You know, but wow, it was like this underground world with a glitter ball. and great music and people dancing and all women, different types of women, all looking, you know, from one end of the range to the other, suits to dresses. I think it was probably a few days after that, yeah, because that would have been on a Saturday. I think then on the Wednesday, I then went off to the lesbian discussion group at Gaze the Word Bookshop in Russell Square, walked around the block a few times, finally forced myself to go in, pretended to look at books. Eventually somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Are you here for the lesbian discussion group?" And I was like, "Why are you asking?" She said, "Because we thought you might want to know and it's at the back of the shop. Come with me." And I said, "All right then." And I followed her. And wow, there was just, wow. I'm saying wow, but, you know, it was maybe 15 women, you know, but that was like 15 more than I'd ever seen before, you know, in one space, in anywhere, not on TV or, you know. I was kind of struck firstly by how normal they all seemed in terms of conversation. After a little while, I realised that almost everybody was wearing what looked like a cross dangling from either an ear or their necks. Oh. And I thought, wow, so they're all kind of Christians as well. Ah, okay. Then after that, we all went to a pub on the Euston Road. And that's where there was a lot more conversation. And I, you know, then they were saying, "Why don't you come with us to this club that's happening on Friday and another club on Saturday?" And, you know, and I started to make friends, and it was amazing. And at one point, I plucked up the courage to ask one of them about the crosses, you know, and I said, "So are you all of you Christian?" She said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "You're all wearing..." She said, "Oh, this is a labrys, darling." And I said, "Well, what's a labrys, you know?" Of course, the following week, I bought one myself at Gaze the Word Bookshop when I went straight back to the discussion group. Oh. So this whole new world sort of opened up for me, and I think it was, you know, just not long after that, I went on my first Pride March. This would have been 1985. How liberating it was. I mean, just to feel like I belonged somewhere, and that I wasn't alone anymore. You know, it felt like I had friends, I had a community, and they understood me, or they understood aspects of me that my straight friends didn't understand, and vice versa. You know, and then also there was this whole world opening up in terms of being able to perhaps be able to have relationships. Mm. Yeah, so that was incredible. In 1988, a group was set up called Shakti, which was the first South Asian lesbian and gay group. And I was invited to come to the very first meeting for that group. It was held at London Friend in King's Cross, Caledonian Road. And again, it was that, you know, eureka moment of sitting there with 19 other lesbian and gay Asian people, South Asian people. It was like, oh my God, wow, you know, wow. And just, it was thrilling, absolutely thrilling, because now there was an understanding, not just in terms of sexuality, but in terms of culture and race and colour, and, you know. And Shakti went on to become a very, very important organisation. I became part of the management committee. It grew from the initial 19 people to becoming, you know, more like 600 people. When I say fairly rapidly, over a period of years, we ended up, we decided to be featured on certain, TV programs. At that time, there was one weekly Asian kind of entertainment magazine program on television. It was called Network East, and we went on that program. And out of all of us at that early stage, there was only myself and Sunil Gupta, the photographer, who felt out enough to be able to go on the show. And so we went on it, and we flew the flag, and basically sort of said, "Right, we're South Asian, we're lesbian and gay, we are here, and there's others of you out here." And we talked about the difficulties within our own community, within the South Asian community, around homophobia, around heterosexism, so that we could try and challenge some of those prejudices, and also to send out a message to other people that might be gay, so that, you know, they wouldn't feel like they were the only one, you know. And and of course, yes, you know, South Asian lesbian and gay people started, you know, coming out of the closet and out in their droves, and, you know, crawling out from under the woodwork and away from oppression. And Shakti then, by the end of that year, held its first disco, which was created specifically to raise funds for the organisation. Inevitably, I was asked to DJ for that. And so that happened at the London Lesbian and Gay Centre upstairs, Christmas that year, or New Year's that year. New Year's Eve, December, I don't know, December 30th, 31st, something like that. Amazing. I mean, 250 people, mainly South Asian. Wow.